This is continuing with our series that we've been looking at the past few weeks, and really diving into some of the things that we practice at church that maybe we wondered why we do them. We talked about baptism and the mode of baptism and why we baptize and things like that, and how baptism is always after salvation, accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, and all the things relating to baptism. And we moved on from that. I want us to go to something very unique. And I would not be surprised this morning if there were some people in here that were not aware of a document that Temple Baptist Church has that is ultra important to our church. And for those of you thinking, well, of course, the Word of God is important. Okay, now this is outside of the Word of God. And what I want us to do this morning is I want to talk about that just a little bit. Before I do, you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and look at verse 40. This is a command here we have from the Lord. Let all things, speaking of the church, be done decently and in order. You know, there's a reason that there is structure to the church. There's a reason that things happen the way they do, and much in large part because we're supposed to be organized. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul instructed Timothy. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." So Paul was saying, listen, you pastor this church, Timothy. It's important that there is structure. It's important that things be done decently in order. It's important that you understand how that works and your people understand that. Okay. And so I want to get right to this morning, and I want to pass out our church constitution. Our church constitution. Brother Nathan's going to get that going here. And this is the official document of our church. If you boiled down our church to what it believes, what its purpose is, all of those things, what's important to our church, you would find it in this specific document, the Constitution. And we're going to talk about this. How many of you have ever read our church constitution? Okay, I'd imagine that most of us have not. Okay, now I did, because when I came on staff here, again, I wanted to know what this church believed and taught and that sort of thing. This document, again, I cannot overstate the importance of this document that you hold in your hands in regards to our church. Now, I want us to go ahead and look at this. This has several parts to it. Really, what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to explain this to you. Okay, when and if the Lord calls you away from Temple Baptist Church at some point, let's say you go to college, you meet a girl, you get married, you guys move to South Dakota to work and start a family, and you're looking for a church. Okay, you're going to want to find a church and then take a deeper look into their constitution. Now, because we live in the information age and it's so easy to find out stuff about churches, most churches have their constitution on their website. And so you can pull that up and you can look at it, and you can know automatically the ballpark that church is in, so to speak. So let's talk about a couple of different things here. Now, the first page that you're looking at, this is the church covenant. Now, I'm going to talk about what a church covenant is here in a second, but I want us to read this together. Okay, I want us to read this, and I want you to absorb this information, because this is a part of you, whether you realize it or not. This is kind of the understanding that our church has in regards to these beliefs. I want you to notice, first of all, you have the church covenant. That's on page one. Let's just go ahead and read down through this. You follow along just for a second, okay? Having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive the Lord Jesus as Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit, we do now in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter in covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of the church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of its ministry. Notice that next paragraph. We also engage to maintain family and private devotions. Boy, that's interesting. How many of you knew that was in there? Okay, nobody. All right. Interesting. Okay, we're going to talk about what this means here in a second. But to educate our children in our faith, to seek the salvation of our family and friends, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be separated from the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our behavior, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and anger, to abstain from the sale and use of intoxicating drink as a beverage, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy and speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. These final statements, we moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with another church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and principles of God's word. Humbly confessing our sins, we pray for grace and strength to keep this covenant in letter and in spirit, to the glory of God. All right, so what is it that we just read here? Okay, what is a church covenant? All right, those of you who are taking notes, I'm going to give you a few things, all right, about this document that we hold in our hand, its purpose and that sort of thing. Let me give you this, all right? And let me just tell you this. I hope that you'll take interest in this, all right? Some may say, Brother Scott, you know, you're handing out something that is very adultish, okay, here. All right, but that's just because I believe that you guys are at a place where you can digest this and you can handle this. I'm telling you, I don't remember my youth pastor ever explaining to me what a church constitution was or what a covenant was. I just don't remember. In fact, when I became an adult, I was like, whoa, what's a constitution? What's a church covenant? Well, I had no idea. Nobody had ever explained it to me. And so I hope you'll take interest in this because it is pretty important in regards to our church. So what is a church covenant? All right, it can be described in several ways. A church covenant is a promise. It's a promise. When we look at the scriptures, we see these covenants that God had with different people. They were sometimes unconditional covenants in which he would make a promise to a certain people group and it didn't matter what they did. He was always going to fulfill that promise. There were unconditional. There were conditional covenants where he would uphold his end as long as whoever he made that covenant with would uphold their end of it. And many times they didn't, and he was not able to keep his side of it. Okay, so this is in its simplest form, it is a promise. It's a covenant. Is a promise. A promise made to God, to a local church, and to oneself. That's what's happening here. If you can tell in the wording of this, there is a promise being made to the Lord, but not only individually, but collectively. Okay, it's like all of us have joined arms together and said, hey, this is what we want. This is who we want to be. And we are planting our flag, and by God's grace, we're going to continue to be this. Okay, so it's a promise. It's a promise that is made to the Lord and really to each other as far as the direction we're going. So it is a promise. It's also a summary of how we agree to live. It's a summary of how we agree to live. While our statement of faith is a good summary of what we believe, our church covenant is a summary of how we agree to live. Is a summary of how God would have us to live. Does not include every command God gave us in Scripture, but it does give a general idea of what it means to live as a disciple of Christ. So it's a promise. It's a covenant, a promise. It's also a summary of how we ought to live as a church. It's also a sign of commitment, number three, a sign of commitment. Commitment is something that the new generation, okay, I would say my generation, okay, I would say people as old as maybe I am and younger struggle in this area of commitment. We like to have our options. Okay, it was, and the world is changing. There's different reasons why we can struggle with commitment, but that certainly can bleed over into the church that I attend and how involved I am. But again, this is the one of the purposes is that so there is a commitment level to those who attend. A church covenant is a sign of commitment, a commitment to God, His church, and to personal holiness. Notice number four, a church covenant is an ethical statement. It's an ethical statement. It's an understanding that church members are held accountable to live in a manner consistent with common understanding of Scripture. It's an ethical statement. And then finally, we see that a church covenant is a biblical standard. Covenant is helpful in a church that is practicing biblical church principles. As found in the New Testament, as members of church, we're exhorted to live holy lives and to challenge our brothers and sisters to remain free from sin. So, I cannot stress to you the importance of our church covenant right here. You go to any church website or you visit any church and you say, okay, I'm interested in knowing more about your ministry. Ask them for a church covenant because this is going to tell you the direction that church is committed to going. Okay? And that's an important thing. Okay? Now, let's dig a little bit deeper. That's the church covenant. All right? Turn the page with me. All right, so now we get into some other sections here. And these are really important, too. You notice section F. Look at the top of there right after the preamble, the Article 1, Article 2. It's talking about the purpose of the church. Article 3, let's go there. This is the statement of faith. And this is the nuts and bolts of what a church believes. Okay, we've gotten the covenant, which is what this people group are saying they want to be and the way they want to live. But now that we get to the statement of faith, this is going to be the nuts and bolts of what that looks like in relation to my beliefs in Scripture. Okay, the statement of faith is like the drive-by. Okay, you could go and attend the church for years and years and years and sort of collect an idea of what that church believes on any given topic. But the statement of faith is basically giving you an advertisement of what is going to be taught at that church and where they stand in regards to doctrine or beliefs. Notice some of these. Notice the Scriptures. Okay, what does the church believe about the Bible? Do they believe that it was just a good book that was written by, you know, some people that were very wise long ago? Do they believe that Jesus was just a good teacher? And, well, these are some of the teachings of Jesus, like maybe the teachings of Buddha. What does that church really believe? Well, this gives you that advertisement. It tells us, notice what we believe. We believe the Scriptures of the Old Testament and New Testament were fully verbally inspired of God and were inerrant in the original writings, and therefore they are supreme authority in faith and life. So that tells you just the importance of the Word of God in regards to our church, Temple Baptist Church. So we're not going to read all of these, but you see the Scriptures. Section B, you see what we believe about God. Is God just, is he the same God that all of these other cultures worship where, some people call it Buddha, some people call it Jehovah, some people, there is a supreme God and we just all kind of, is that what we believe about God? Well, according to the statement of faith, it details it out. So important things. Jesus Christ, what we believe, section C, about Jesus Christ, section D, what we believe about the Holy Spirit. Is there any confusion on the Holy Spirit in today? I mean, today, is there any confusion about what the Holy Spirit does in our lives? I'm seeing some heads nod like this. How many of you think there's no confusion about the Holy Spirit? Tell me, what is one of the confusing things that maybe some churches would teach about the Holy Spirit today? Anybody know? Micah? Okay, all right, the Holy Spirit's kind of a feeling. All right. Yeah, Andrew? Right. Okay, how many of you have ever heard somebody talk about how when you really get filled with the Spirit, you begin to speak in tongues? How many of you have ever heard that before? Okay, now, that's a misconception about the Holy Spirit, and really a misinterpretation of the book of Acts and the sign gift that was happening at that moment. So that's why some of these feedback that we've gotten, it's important that we know what we believe about the Holy Spirit. The next section is Satan. Keep going, turn the page. You see salvation. You see the Lord's return. Section G, section H, the church. Section 1, the ordinances. What do we do, sacraments or do we do ordinances? Okay, what church would do sacraments? Anybody know? What is a church that would say, hey, we keep the sacraments? Yes, Michael? The Catholic Church. Yeah, they believe that there are these sacraments, right? And in doing them and in keeping them, it helps you in regards to your eternal security and being saved, okay? We don't believe in that, obviously. And what I love about every single one of these, what do you guys notice? All right, I want you to look at these, all right? What do you notice about every single section F, section G, section H, section I, and on down? What do you notice about that is a commonality about all of these besides that they're using the English language? All right, Andrew, you know. There's a Bible verse. Listen, this is so important. All right, and I love that our church did this, and this was drafted a long time ago. But if I'm a Christian and you're going to tell me something, I'm going to want to see it in this book. I mean, if something is going to be preached, I want to see it spelled out in the Word of God. That's why when I preach, sometimes I don't do as good a job at this as I want to, but I try to give as much Scripture as possible so that you guys can see this is not Brother Scott. Okay, this is the Word of God, and we're simply taking what God has said, trying to follow that as best we can. And that's the statement of faith here. Verses for every single one of these. And most of these have more than one verse. There's several verses. Go on down. You see article number 4. And this is just a church covenant. That's the same exact wording. You can turn the page there. Go over to article number 5. Article number 5. Lost my phone, folks. I'm flying blind. What's our time? 9:36. Okay, all right, we got a couple minutes left. All right, thanks, Nathan. Okay, so we're looking at Article 5, membership. Okay, how many of you knew that our church has a membership? Like, you can be a member of Temple Baptist Church. How many of you knew that? Okay, all right. That means that when people come, okay, there is a commitment that's taking place. A lot of times, what pastor, you know, if you'd like to join the church, people will come down front. At the end of the service, he'll recognize them. And then people come by, and then he will meet with them. He'll go into their home, and they'll say, hey, and he will hand them, guess what, one of these. And he'll say, hey, just so there's no confusion, I want you to know exactly what you're getting yourself into here, okay? I want you to know what our church believes. We're not ashamed about it. We're different than some other churches, but we're different because we want to be where the Bible is. And so he hands it to them. Take some time to read down through that. If you have any questions about it, let me know. I'd love to sit down and answer any questions you have. They go through, and they maybe come back and they say, you know, Pastor, you know what? This is right where we are, and boy, we just love to be a member of this church. And then it goes forward. It gets it gets voted on, and then you have it. Okay, so this is the membership articles. Any person who has received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and has been scripturally baptized can be voted into the membership of the church. You say, well, what if somebody comes and wants to join the church that has not accepted Christ as their Savior? Well, they need to take step one first. And many times, Pastor has said, you know, we would love for you to be a part of us, but have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, what does that mean? Well, let me tell you. And you know, people have gotten saved right there in that moment. And the pastor's been able to baptize them into the membership of the church. And it's just been a special thing, okay? But there are rules laid out for membership. There's rules withdrawal from membership. We don't have time to read all these. Article 7, duties of members. And this is just kind of spelling out other aspects of the church. Turn the page. Article 8. The discipline of members. Is church discipline taught in the New Testament? Yes or no? Yes, it is. Does anybody know what book of the Bible we have quite a bit written in? We could actually say two. Okay, it was the letters to, okay, Acts, but specifically Corinthians. Okay, the letters to Corinthians. Remember, there's that person in the church. Improper relations with his mother-in-law. People knew about it. It was just bad. Okay, they had to exercise church discipline. We have not had to do that, thankfully, not too often as a church. But it is a scriptural principle. And it's laid out according to Scripture right here in discipline of membership. Okay, you look down at officers, and this is really great. It gives section A, section B. What is expected of the pastor if we go through a pastoral change? What is it that we point back to and say, well, this is what our pastor should be doing? Well, it's in the church constitution. When we bring on new deacons, and we just so happen to be blessed in the youth group having two deacon youth workers, and that's awesome. But these are the qualifications for the deacon, and these come right out of the Word of God. Section C, election and removal of a pastor or deacon. That's a terrible thing. But what would we do if that had to occur? Well, it's spelled out. You look at articles of meeting on the next page, Article 10. And this is just the meetings, how they're going to take place. This is just being organized and having something that's set in place. You follow it up on the end with amendments and a dissolution, that sort of thing. You can take that home and keep this with you. But why have something like this? Well, it keeps us efficient, number one, but it also provides direction for the future. You know, again, this is in the moment with a church staff that has maybe been there a while and church families who have been in that church for a while. Boy, they know the direction of that church. They know what to expect when they come. But what about the next generation? What about when the pastoral staff and the deacons who were there for so long, what happens when they pass off the scene? What is going to keep that church from not introducing heresy or going down a path that would not be pleasing to the Lord? And that is why we have a church constitution, to keep us on the path. It's a healthy thing. It's an important thing in relation to legal suits that so often come up against churches having things on the books and organized. It's a shame that we have to do that today, but it's a great help to our church. Listen, I hope that you'll take a little bit of time just to read down through some of these things of what we believe. And boy, I'm thankful for our church covenant and our constitution, but I wonder if we realize exactly what we get to be a part of here at Temple Baptist Church, and really the commitment that we've all made to just pursue the glory of the Lord and holiness. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for our church. I thank you, God, for the fact that, Lord, what we believe is based in your word. Lord, I pray that you'd always keep us focused on that. I pray, Lord, that for generations to come, I pray that Temple Baptist Church would be a shining light that would be true to the word of God. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the privilege we have serve the Lord together here in this place. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen.